on Wednesday nights, we do prayer. We're doing a study on prayer. And so this is something that I just got. It's hot off the presses. I've been in Medford after Sunday night, helping my daughter and her children. My daughter works for Asante Hospital, and she's doing some 72-hour full workers. And so she needed someone to help with the children to get them off to school and stuff. So I stepped in. So the first thing I wanted to do is just introduce to you what Psalms 23 is all about. I hear Psalms 23 played at a lot of funerals. How about you? People want that as on their those handouts. When people have passed away, Psalms 23, that's usually where we use that Psalms. But the Lord laid on my heart that that Psalm is more than just for our death. That is a journey. And that's why I put life's journey on here. I'm going to show you some things tonight about that Psalms 23 is our daily walk with the Lord, actually. And when David wrote this, King David, who was a fugitive, I don't know if you knew that, but if you read in the Psalms, when David was anointed king, he was a shepherd boy. He was very young at age, and Saul was still king. How many of you are familiar with the story? How many are not? Okay, I'll share a little bit. When Saul was king and David was anointed with oil to be the king, but in order for David to become king, Saul obviously had to be out, right? And so Saul put a bounty on David's head, basically, and was very mean to David. And so David was in hiding and in captivity. And he wrote this. This is really a song. Psalms 23 is a song. But it also is a tribute to him believing that his God is going to carry him through, because God promised him that he would be king someday. And as you read through the Psalms and read through about David's life, David had ample opportunity to actually kill Saul, but he chose not to. Why? Because it wasn't that time. It's not his time. The Bible's very strict about touch not God's anointed. And so Saul was still king, and so it was up to God to take care of the transition, not David. But in the meantime, Saul put out, like in our day, a warrant for his arrest, and he was a fugitive running from Saul. And so he was in constant danger, and he lived on the land. And so that's where the story picks up in Psalms 23. Okay? And it changed him after Saul was finally gone and David became king. David realized how much God protected him through all that journey that he took, his life's journey. And so he wrote this as a tribute to his life's journey with God. And so if it's good enough for David, it should be good enough for us as well. Amen? Amen. So tonight, first of all, I'm just going to read what I wrote. First of all, this song was written by King David. We all know that. And he changed his career from being a shepherd to a king. I don't know, but a shepherd boy or a shepherd or sheep herder was one of the very lowest jobs in those days. It was not honored. It was more of a leftover type job. And David, he did it faithfully. He loved his sheep. His sheep loved him. And as David was out in the fields, all those years out in the fields alone with his sheep, God was preparing him to be a king. Actually, was. He was preparing him because he had to fight off the enemy that tried to take his sheep. He had to fight off his brothers. He had to do a lot of things. And he even fought off the giant, Goliath. So David was really busy growing up, not realizing that all the things in his journey and his path was bringing him to become king over the nation, King David. And I can parallel that to us, that everything that we go through every day of our life, everything, even before we even come to accept Jesus in our heart, God was molding us and preparing us through life's journey, through the hardships and through the failures and through the bad choices. God knew already what our plan was, because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, right? What's an author? Someone who wrote the book. He's written your life and my life. And it goes on and says that he knows every hair on our head. Even if you're bald, he knows the hairs on your head. That is our God. And so Psalms 23 is more than just a little chapter to put on a death invitation and things like that. And so we're going to walk through it. But before we do that, let's read it, all of it. And then we'll break it down into pieces, okay? You guys want to read it with me? So you guys have it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? There's a lot of goodness there. There's a lot of fruit here, and there's a lot of golden nuggets. So let's start with the first one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shepherd, the good shepherd. He is his shepherd. In other words, David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And is he your shepherd? Do you hear his still voice? See, when David was out in the valley, in the fields with his sheep could hear his voice. I was playing with my dog, Kimber, and she knew my voice. Even when her back's away from me, she heard my voice, and she would come to me. And that's how we should. We should be able to hear through all the other noises the Lord's voice, whether it be in our heart, whether it be in our mind, whether it be just knowing what's right from wrong. Amen? The Lord's name there is very profound and unique, yet we see this awesome God, the one who just is and who's called in existence. And not only that, but he protected David through all of this. He sent angels. He protected him through all of this. So the first thing is, the Lord is my shepherd. And then the second part is, I shall not want. Well, what does that mean? I shall not want. Let's go there. Okay. In his care and the lengths he would go to do for David while David was out in the wilderness, he prepared, he provided, he protected. There was even a time in David's life where he just wanted to have a drink of water from a special place that was really special to him. And some of his friends snuck out and went back to get that for him. And he said, I won't drink that because, did you know that? That's in there. Because he respected the Lord enough to know that God's his provision and his provider. Amen. And God is our provision and our provider. And so the Lord's name is unique. It's awesome. And David understood the word shepherd because he was a shepherd himself. Amen. My husband, as you know, does not like sheep. So he just says, sheep do not care for me. And then I looked this up, too. In the Hebrew word for shepherd, it's a root word for companion or close friend. That's what the word shepherd means. It's our companion or a close friend. And that's what God is, Jesus Christ. He sent his only son to be our friend, right? And the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Amen? Amen. So, let's go on. That I shall not want. Okay? Let me get to it. This refers to nothing lacking. I shall not lack anything. I shall not be in want. This is a promise of God's provision. He gives us that. He gives us what we need. Can't read my own writing. He gives us what we need rather than taking away our desires. Does that make sense? He gives us what we need. Rather than taking away our desires, he works with us in our hopes, in our dreams, and in our longings. And that, I'm not saying that you can get everything that you want, but we will not lack anything, even as we seek God for the things that we desire in our hearts. And there's a scripture in Psalms that says that He will give you the desires of your heart as you delight in Him. Are you delighting in Him? If you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And I know that He knows more about what you need than we do, because when I was younger, I asked the Lord for this and I asked the Lord for that and had a crush on someone, and so glad He didn't give me that. He knew better, you know? God knows better, right? Amen? I threw that in there. Oh, well. And also, God knows the desires of our heart even before we even ask. Right? And when David was in danger, God was always there for him, even when he didn't deserve it. I mean, really, David was a man after God's own heart. But if you read about David, David did a lot of things against what was right, amen? But he learned his lesson the first time, so he was a man after God's own heart. Amen? Okay. Whatever happens in the future, good or bad, God will be there to look after us. And we don't have to worry about anything lacking. Because in Matthew it says that He'll take care of us as He does the lilies of the field and the birds. They don't sow or tarry. But if He's mindful of the birds, how much more is He mindful of His creation? Amen? And it says not to take thought in what you eat or what you wear. I think it's in Matthew 5 and 6. And it talks about that. We're not to worry about what to eat and what to. And He even goes even farther to say, don't even worry about what you're going to say for Me. Just open your mouth and be willing to speak what I put in your mouth. Amen? That is so good. God, we lack nothing. He gave us everything. Okay, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In another way you can say this is He invites us to lay down in lovely places, just as we might say to a waiter, would you please seat us at the table? He's concerned about us. He even gives us scriptures about, take My yoke, it's easy. Give Me your burdens. I can carry them. Give Me all your worries. Why are you fretting? Why are you having anxiety? Give it to Me. He invites us to lay down in lovely places, just as we might say to a waiter. And then the other part is He leads me beside still waters. Leads me beside still waters. Have you been to a river where it's just roaring? I remember in 1964, I was just 4 years old. And I remember standing at the end of the highway in Lake Creek, Oregon, because we had a cabin up on Little Butte Creek. And this beautiful bridge that we used to cross was gone. And it was the 1964 flood. Am I the only one that remembers that? That impacted my life. And I didn't get to see a house, but I saw things going down the river. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh. And it was making this loud roaring sound. And it was like scary. 4-year-old, like scary. I mean, it was dirty and it was up almost high, and it was just, I was terrified. And it's just the opposite of what He's saying here. He leads me beside still waters. I don't know about you, but how many of you have gone rafting? The white waters are great, but when you come to a still area, you like it because you can just bask and relax and not have to worry about hitting the rocks. Yeah, He leads me beside still waters. The word translated still is another word for comfort. So restful, comforting water. It reminds me of Isaiah 8. And in Isaiah 8, verse 6, it talks about how God's good intentions for us. He's wishing us good, not evil. And it comes through powerfully. And in Isaiah 8, 6, it talks about that. It talks about the Siloam water. It's just nice and comfort there. So if you want to look that up later, Isaiah 8, that's what that's talking about. He wanted gently flowing waters for His people. This also brings to mind the heart of Jesus. If you read about Him in Matthew 23, when He wished to gather them under His wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Huh? That's what this is saying. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Did the people do that? Did they relax? They rejected him. But it's there for us. He's inviting us. It's our choice, huh? Okay, let's go on. I'm reading my words here. He restores my... Are you in the next one? He restores my soul, or my soul comes back to me. Where David's soul had gone, possibly, he was probably at times, even though he was a fugitive, he's probably sometimes wondering, where are you, God? Don't you think? It wasn't always just, here you are. No, there was times when he was saying, Lord, where are you? You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know that you said I was going to be king, but when? Why, Lord? Why am I doing this? Why, God? Why am I here? I think I would think that too. How about you? And what I wrote here is that he restores my soul, or my soul comes back to me. You might ask where David's soul had gone, that it would have to return. But we can say in English, I feel like myself again, perhaps after recovering from a period of great stress or illness. Have you ever felt like, and then the Lord just comes in and just makes you feel better when you pray and release things to God? I don't know. I tend to, one of the weaknesses in my life is my children. So when I start to become heavy burden, I just release it and give it to the Lord. And he just brings in excitement in my spirit, in my soul, restores it to have an expectancy that he's going to answer our prayers. Is that right? So he restores our soul. Okay. The next one is he's preparing. Oh, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This one is interesting. I don't know about you, but in my life, it seems like there's things that are familiar to me that maybe I had dreamed about them at one time or something. Do you do that? No one? Yeah? You guys are nodding your heads. Or you are doing the very same thing that you did before, only you're doing it differently. And you're kind of in the same, kind of like in this circle, not really getting anywhere, but yet you're moving around, right? Does that sound familiar? Going around in circles? Patterns repeated? If we are walking with God under his care and supervision, we are going up in spiral of growth. We're going up to the high places. If we're not challenging ourselves and if you're not growing, I really challenge you tonight to do that. Because when he restores my soul, he's leading me in the paths of righteousness if I'll listen for him. Amen? If I will die to my flesh, die to me, and listen to that voice, he'll take us up to high places. Amen? And it's good up there. I know it is. If we are walking with God and we're under his care and supervision, then we will grow. We will grow. And the view looks better when you're up above instead of under this circumstance, you're up above. Amen? It's a matter of perspective, right? When you're battling something and you're in that battle, all you see is the battle. But a friend will come alongside you and put their arm around you, Jesus, and they'll say, hey, look past that. Look down the road. Look what there is. Does that make sense? Or they'll say, well, I'm looking at this from a different perspective. And they'll speak life into us. Does that make sense? Have you ever had a friend just come along and say, you know, I'm seeing what you're doing, or I know what you're going through, but have you considered this? Have you had that? No? Need to find some good friends. Well, I'm reminded just now, dropped in me, thank you, Lord, there's a scripture that says a kiss from a friend is nice, but truth, values, words to help you grow is much more better than a kiss from a friend. In other words, a pat on the back saying you're okay, even though you're not. It's more valuable for a friend to tell you the truth, to make you grow or to change or to challenge you. Amen? That's a good friend. Sometimes God has to take us several times around the circle in order for us to learn some things. He's trying to teach us, and at other times, we observe life cycling to bring closure and completion to unresolved issues. What I meant about this is that God will take you where He has to take you in order for you to face it and deal with it, because He wants you to not have that in your life. And the more you give to Him, the more He'll fill you with His Spirit and His Word. Amen? So you're cleaning yourself up, right? The Hebrew word says that God leads us in circles or cycles of righteousness for His name's sake. He is committed to our growth and our journey so that He gets the glory. He doesn't want you in a bad, sad way. Why? Because you're not glorifying the Lord at all. Oh me, oh my. No one wants to be around you. Have you seen that person that's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go this way because they're coming towards me? I pray you never do that. I must say I have. Not recently, but in my times past. We all do. But would you rather be around someone who's sour power, grumpy Bertha or whatever, or up in the sky with the ones that believe and are walking, right? The view looks familiar, but as you grow, the view changes better. Amen? Sometimes God has to take us several times. I already read that. He's committed to our growth and our journey, that He gets the glory. He wants us to grow in righteousness as He gradually conforms us to the likeness of Jesus, His Son, from one degree of glory to the next, for His name's sake. I want to be a light for God. Do you? That's what this is all about. It's a journey. And all these things we do every day. We do every one of these. And the next one is the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death. Do you notice that it says through the valley of the shadow of death? That's hope. You know why? Because you're not there. You're not stuck there. You're going through the battle. And sometimes our battles that we fight are hard. Sometimes our battles that we fight are very simple, right? The phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, is a poetic phrase. And it's mentioned in other places other than just in Psalms 23. And it's talking about total blackness. That's what it's talking about in the Greek and Hebrew. The kind of pitch black where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. According to biblical people, it's also in parallel to Psalm 16, in which David writes, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." Verse 10. This valley of the shadow of death is like Sheol, the grave. It must be passed through before coming out the other side. God wants us to take on battles. He wants us to walk through hard times, because if you didn't walk through hard times and you could do everything on your own, then you wouldn't need the Lord. There's a song, Through It All. Through It All, I've learned to trust in Jesus. There's a part in there and it says that if I didn't have trials and if I didn't have heartaches and things in my life, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And I wouldn't have faith. And I wouldn't know what faith in God would do for me. Amen? So in James, it talks about to count it all joy when we're going through temptations, when we're going through trials and testings. It's not to punish us. It's to make us grow stronger in the Lord. And the things that we have allowed to come into our lives that we're ashamed of or that are holding us back, those very things, the moment that you give them to the Lord, two things happen. Number one, that heaviness leaves you. And the second thing is those very things that are in your life that you've overcome and given away, God will use those for you to bring glory to Him in others. There's people that will walk down that path and you already have experienced it, so you're able to come alongside them and say, hey, been where you've been. the very things that kept me from coming loose and letting them go, the secret things inside of me, I was hearing the enemy say, well, what if they knew? What if they knew what you did? What if they knew? They would not like you. They would not be your friend anymore. You would lose your place or whatever. All these things were going through my mind. But the instant that I gave that real hard thing to the Lord, and God cleansed me and forgave me for it, that very thing in my life I've been able to use with others. That very thing, the very thing. I think that's what it means about that we're overcomers by the word of our testimony. Because once we give up those things in our life that are holding us back, they bring freedom to others and they bring freedom to us. Amen? Because you can reach people that I'll never reach. And I'll reach people that you'll never see or reach. But God needs all of us in the fight. We're all the army. Amen? Amen? I didn't hear an amen. That's okay. It's quiet when you're having surgery, huh? And then it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because our God is with us. Amen? And the rod and the staff, they comfort me. When I think of a rod, I think of a paddling stick. My mom always told me to go out in the backyard and get an apple stick. I would try and find the littlest one I could. That was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. Because then she went out and got the biggest one. How about you? So when I read that, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's kind of the opposite of what I'm thinking. And the staff is that thing right there. It's got a hook on it where the shepherd could help the sheep, pull them in and stuff. But it's actually, they comfort me. And there's something really interesting here about that. Let me get to it. I'm going ahead of myself. Get to it. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You might be forgiven for thinking that sticks and rods don't sound very comforting, but this is what I wrote. They speak of authority and discipline, yes, but when they're in the right hands and the right person, the shepherd, is holding them, they bring comfort and safety. Amen? And I don't know about you, but teenagers, even though they try to be strong and act like, oh, I don't need you, I raised four of them, okay? I learned one thing. Oh, and I was youth pastor as well with my husband. And we learned one thing in that is this. They want structure and they want rules, even though they act like they don't. They want to know that you love them. And by putting structure on them and by putting some authority on them, they like that even though they don't. But they enjoy that because it shows them that you love them. And that's how our Savior is. He loves us so much that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. He's our buckler. He's our fighter. He's our warrior. He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer. There's so many things. Those are all Holy Spirit things. We're going to learn that all on Sunday. So anyway, and he's our king. And he reigns. Amen? So that's what that's talking about, is all of that. And this is the one that I wanted in Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. Not only is his rod and staff, they comfort me, but also they correct us. They correct the sheep. Man, we're sheep. And what I wrote here is that there is comfort even when the Lord's disciplining us. Okay, he doesn't condemn us. He convicts us and disciplines us. Right? And that tells us that we're truly his children. And in Hebrews 12, it says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And so that goes back to the teenagers. Even little children, they need some direction. They may fight you, but they want it. And so do we. He will not, as some fear, just let us wander off and shrug our shoulders any more than a shepherd would his sheep. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. God does respect our freedom because we have that freedom to choose, right? but he would rather you choose him and trust him rather than trust yourself. Amen? For our souls, and there is great comfort in knowing that he is willing to reprove and discipline us to keep us on track. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like that God keeps us on track. Amen? Okay, and then the next thing, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. God is not only our provider, giving us what we need to survive, but he is generous, lavishing his love on us. Rather than leaving a food package by the door, he sets the table and laid out a feast for you and me, and it's prepared for us. It also speaks of honor and of rest, and we are invited to come and sit at the table to tarry, spending time in fellowship together with him, rather than just always on the go, going through McDonald's or whatever. He prepares a table before us. And we can sit and relax at the banquet table under his protection, while the enemy can only look on. That's what that's saying. And to this day, God protects us in our life's journey. He's prepared for us. He brings everything that we need when we need it. I said when we need it, not when we want it, but when we need it. And he also prepares us protection from our enemies. And that's what that's talking about. And this is speaks of honor and of rest. And what I wrote here is that we are invited to come and sit at the table to tarry, spending time in fellowship together with him rather than grabbing a bite to eat on the go. We can sit and relax under his protection while the enemy can only look on. David is noting the great contrast between the destiny of the righteous in God and the unrighteous, his people and his enemies. The wicked are excluded from the great banquet, yet they have to look on and can only gnash their teeth as God rolls out the red carpet for you and me. Did you ever think about that? That was good. That was exciting to me. And then it says, you anoint my head with oil. David was chosen by God. David was his favored by God. He was destined to be king with God's sanction and approval. The word Messiah means anointed one. I love that word. I like to say Messiah. I think it just is so powerful. Messiah. Messiah. I love it. One anointed for a purpose. That's another way. And so you and I, not only are we anointed for a purpose, but we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And we even have more than what David had because we have that seal. We are king's kids. We're child of God's. Amen? You guys should be excited about that anyway. And then it says, my cup overflows. What does that mean? The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. In Psalm 16:5, David is talking about his great satisfaction with all God has given him to the point of overflowing. He's delighted with God's kindness and abundant provision. And again, David's life wasn't easy. He had a high calling with a high cost. But he was delighted with the amazing life God had given to him. And the idea of the cup also reminds us of Jesus. When he was in the garden, Lord, is this cup, right? He wasn't asking God to save him from dying. He was asking God, please don't take your eyes off of me. Because he loved the Father. That was what he was fighting about. But in order for you and I, in order for you and I to totally be free, Jesus had to take on our sin, and God the Father had to turn his back on Christ. Just for us. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Let me finish. I'm going to end now. We're almost done. This overflowing cup speaks of the calling, the challenge, and the blessing that God gives us in our life. And the next, that which is apportioned to us. It's not just satisfying, but abundantly overflowing if we let it. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. the word follow really isn't, it's an English, it's a Western English word, but the word follow really means to chase down. Surely goodness and mercy are chasing after us. They're trying to get us in there. When we step out, they're trying to come back around to us. They're not just behind dragging, following. They're actually trying to be in front of us and catch us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And goodness and mercy, they're like, I hear Pastor Shane, they're hound dogs. They're the hound dogs. They're out there searching and looking and making sure that you're having everything that you need for your daily walk through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because they had goodness and mercy, but we have the Holy Spirit, but same thing, same kind of thing. David expresses his faith here that it will continue throughout his entire future. And then all the days of my life, we can also have that. We have that too. We have that promise. Every day of our life is a walk for the Lord. Everything we do and say should be for God, right? We can also have that same expectation. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what was good for David is good for us. And it will be good for tomorrow's. Amen? And the last thing here, weeping may come at night, but joy comes in the morning. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's more like I will sit, like sitting at the table, laid with a feast again. It speaks of rest and belonging to Him. And what Jesus did on the cross and in the grave, and now seated at the right hand of God, that's where we are. Amen? His work is done. It's finished. And one day you and I are going to be there too. Amen? Amen. And this last thing I did, David knew he would dwell with God in God's dwelling place for the rest of his days. No one will ever ask him to leave. Once you're there, you're there. And think of this. He's so happy with his lot, despite all the danger and all the trouble that we experience on this world and this life. Nothing compares to what God has for us. Nothing. And just keep that in mind as you're praying. Amen? Any questions? God will always take care of you and me. Amen? Was this good? No? Yes? Maybe? No? Nope. No comment. Let me... Oh, yeah. I always forget the offering. The word is so important. Offering's important, too. But I love the word. If you have some offering, Gene, he has the basket already on the table because he knows me well. So... I'm just going to close in prayer and then we'll dismiss, okay? Thank you for following us online. Look those scriptures up. If you make a commitment to God, He'll meet you there. He promises, and He's the great shepherd. Amen? Father God, I thank you, and I just ask, Lord, now that as we close, that this would go with us. Father, help us with our journeys. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, Lord, you are there with us, and we'll fear no evil because you are there, your rod and your staff that guide us. And I give you all the praise and glory for this day. May you be glorified in and through us, and help us, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day. See you Sunday.